Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Cricket Pod Blast. Yes. Thanks for coming, everyone. Now, what voice was that? This week on the Cricket Pod Blast, we're going to talk cricket poetry. We've got good month, bad month. I talk about Adam Holyoake during that section. There's the Rawnsley Roundup. I critique the cricket critic. That's right, I critique the cricket critic. We've got cricketing column of the week. We get cricket specific. This week, Adrian Shankar. Look out for that. We've got our cricketer you've never heard of the week. And I start a new campaign called Joss Butler's Butler. Look forward to it. So, good month, bad month.
Hang on a second, Ross. Sorry, I'm getting something here. Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Stop everything. This straight from a press release by the English Cricket Board, the ECB themselves.
The ECB have been on.
The 13-man squad for the England team against the West Indies has been announced.
Sweet Jesus.
And we have some bad news, although I suspect he'll know already. Ravi Bapara, you're not in.
If this is the first he's hearing of it, I'm really sorry he had to hear it in this way.
On a podcast. Months, possibly.
From two men in a secret location somewhere in the Oval.
But anyway, Ravi, you're not in. So, they picked another number six. This was a topic we discussed a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
Who did you say?
Well, I stand by it, and I'll come back to this briefly as I critique the cricket critic. I said James Taylor should be straight in. What's happened?
He's been ignored, Ross. That's what's happened. He's been ignored. Chosen almost inevitably to play at number six, barring some sort of decision to play Bresnan higher up, is Johnny Bairstow. So congratulations
to him.
Well,
very good. Johnny.
Well done, Johnny.
I salute you. Hard lines, Taylor.
Bairstow is put in a squad with Onions, who joins Bresnan, and Finn, who will be fighting over the last batting spot.
Mm.
We can talk about this in a moment, but I think it'd be interesting to focus on who's going to be most unhappy this morning.
Oh, that's good.
Number one, Ravi Bapara.
Well, he'll be very unhappy. He's very unhappy because he's got a sore hand, presumably. Is it a hand?
No,
it?
he's pulled a quad.
He's pulled a quad?
It might even be torn.
Ooh.
Yeah, he batted at 8 yesterday with a runner during that county game.
And he got run out because he ran, I hear.
Oh, I didn't see that.
I think he ran and then he ran back, which sort of gives the lie to the fact that he's got a torn quad. Maybe he's just got stage fright.
I think that's pretty harsh on him.
I don't want to bandy anything around we've got to apologise for next week. We all know that can happen.
We'll get to that in due course. Number two who's going to be upset, Samit Patel. Nobody's talking. I feel bad for Samit Patel. Nobody's talking about it.
I'm talking about him.
You're talking about it. We're talking about him. He was number six for England.
Number six for England.
Well, he was seven, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was a seven.
Which wasn't exactly a vote of confidence.
No. This is another thing I'm going to take on George De Bell. Yeah, I'm taking on George De Bell from our friends, the Switch Hit podcast. I'm challenging him over the...
What's the challenge? Do you want to deal with it later?
Yeah, we'll deal with it later. Okay. I can't go into it.
Who else is going to be upset? Patel's lost his place and no one seems to care. Bapara's injured yet again and he was going to be picked. Number three is Yorkshire. They can't be pleased.
No.
We're going to talk about it in a moment. Chased down 400 yesterday without Bairstow, which is an extraordinary result. Second highest run chase by Yorkshire
in their illustrious history.
But they're going to be without Bairstow pretty much for the rest of the season if he's any good, because England aren't going to take him for two tests and drop him.
No. They like Bairstow. This is, you know, it's all a rich tapestry. We're going to get like the Bayer tapestry. We're going to go into a couple of things. He's an all-action cricketer like Owen Morgan, I think, Bairstow. He hits the ball very hard. Jonathan Trott said when he was at the other end seeing Bairstow do a terrific innings, I believe, in the 2020, he said, never seen anyone hit the ball so hard. He's an exciting cricketer. I think they want big characters like him in the side. And it's a move against James Taylor, who I think maybe a few years ago would have been the slightly more conservative choice.
I think that James Taylor should feel pretty hard done by. Yeah. And we're going to go to their statistics. But before, can I just finish the segment by saying the fourth guy who's going to feel maybe a little upset this morning is Stephen Davis.
Sure.
Went on tour all winter as the number two wicketkeeper. Bairstow, of course, is a wicketkeeper. Mm. I don't know, Ross, do you know if Pryor or Bairstow is a better glove man?
I would think Pryor. It always confuses me. People come into, I don't know whether you know this or not, but people always come into the cricket team as wicket keeper, the English cricket team, and people go, well, he's very good. He needs to become a bit better as a wicket keeper. And I always think he's already been picked for England. And I'm always surprised by that. They said that about Geraint Jones. They said the one person they didn't say it about was Chris Reed. He was seen as the guy that was very good at keeping wicket, not so good with the bat.
Yeah, James Foster's the other one.
James Foster's the other one.
He was the glove man who couldn't bat.
But mostly they say good with his hands, but needs to become a bit better with his hands. And I think that's a very odd measure by which a man should get into the English team. But that people do get better. Prize got much better. And I imagine I imagine Barstow needs to develop his glove work, as Davis does.
Perhaps. I don't know how old Pryor is now, but I'm thinking about Bairstow for the future as England wicketkeeper.
I think quite possibly it could be an Alex Stewart situation where he's definitely coming as batsman. It's not necessarily true that he's replacing like-for-like Steve Davies, but Davies, that's got to be a bit of a blow for him, I would have thought.
Well, Davies, although he averages almost 40 in first-class cricket, got a duck last time out against Worcestershire in the game that's just finished. But he averages 30 over the 8 ODI matches that he's got to play. And a pretty inconsistent run in terms of he hasn't been given much of a chance. I feel for him. I think there's a hierarchy. But I feel most of all for James Taylor, despite what we said in the last pod blast. Can I take you through just a few of these statistics? Bairstow versus Taylor, a pretty stark choice. Bairstow's averaging 46.37. And Taylor is averaging 48.
Oh.
So that's pretty close. Yeah. Although Bairstow got 3 last time he batted in the County Championship against Kent, he got 182 the time before that against Leicestershire, and another 107. So he's got 2 centuries this season, a 50 against the West Indies.
Yeah, very good.
Taylor, century against the West Indies, can't argue with that. But apart from that, he hasn't got to 50 except for the game against Loughborough, which isn't really a proper first-class game.
Oh, I see.
Wherefore Hamilton Brown?
Wherefore
another
Hamilton
century
Brown?
From Hamilton Brown.
Wherefore Hamilton? We'll talk about him later.
Oh, what said today on Twitter, what about Moeen Ali? He's not exactly putting the runs together to
he's
back
not,
up our
He's
argument.
Not at the moment, but he's got a great beard and I like his style.
Yeah, he's a really compact batsman. We really like him. We're big fans.
I like a cricketer with a good beard. There's definitely a section waiting to happen on that.
I'm really looking forward to the arrival of Amla this season.
Enjoy that beard.
And what a batsman.
Take that in. I'd like to get a piece of it. Do you think I could?
I think you could get it for charity. You could have an
That's
auction.
Good.
A beard auction. Just
let's feed that
off.
In. Let's feed that in. Beautiful stuff. Right. Well, thank you for that. Newsflash. Let's get on to good month, bad month. Good month, bad month. For me, it's been, a good month for Adam Holyoake. Now, back in the day when I was but a lad getting into cricket, and also at the same time, a certain Channel 4 TV soap was coming to prominence. It had bad storylines and beautiful women, and it was called Holyoakes. But I was entranced by another pair of Holyoakes, Adam and Ben Holyoake.
Yes.
Now, Ben Holyoake sadly passed away, of course, some of you may know, the non-cricketing fans, to fill you in. There were two fantastic cricketers.
Do we have non-cricketing fans?
I can only imagine that we do.
Do we have fans?
It's a crossover show. That's what I'm calling it.
Okay.
We might have a few messages from fans. We've certainly got a few corrections.
Oh, well, I got a text message this morning from a fan.
Do you know what? Let's throw it in.
He's also the opening bowler in our cricket team, though.
Oh, right. Okay.
So is it independent?
Is this going to be abuse?
I don't think so. He says, listen to both pod blasts. Excellent work. Particularly enjoyed the Rawnsley Facebook feature, which we'll be repeating today.
Thank you.
Looking forward to my guest spot, probably Tremlett based soon. And that's true. He used to open the bowling with Tremlett for Hampshire and Winchester District. So he's invited us to phone in, but I think we're going to resist it on this occasion.
An impromptu phone in. Right, well, let's focus first on the Holyoakes. Enough about him. Fine, tall bowler that he is. Adam Holyoake and Ben Holyoake with terrific cricketers, both played for England. One of the first one-day international matches I remember watching, Ben Holyoake came in at number 3 and he scored 63 of 49 balls.
Is that against Australia?
It was. It was a fantastically exciting innings, and it's one of my very early memories of cricket. Now, his brother, Adam Holyoake, this week has started his professional boxing career.
Yeah, well, is it not cage fighting?
Well, he involves himself both in mixed martial arts, but also just straight up Queensbury rules boxing, I believe.
That's is that Queensbury
rules?
Bare knuckle boxing?
I don't know. Is Queensbury rules bare knuckle?
I don't think so.
It's another apology waiting to happen. But no, and he won his first bout.
Well done him.
Well done, Adam. Adam, stay out of trouble, mate. Stay out of the corners.
I wouldn't want to mess with him.
I wouldn't want to mess with him. He seems like a bloody tough guy. I've seen him with his shirt off. Wow, there was just a photo of him. It's not a photo I've found, especially. It was just in the paper. It was in the Metro. Available to anyone. He's a very healthy guy. He's he won his first match now. Do you think they'd put him up against an easy guy first? I mean, I don't want to throw anything at Holyoake, but would he start low?
I don't know, but I think it'd be entertaining to watch Holyoake against other cricket players.
I would really like that, because Adam has said this week, he said, I box very much like I play cricket. He doesn't bring in a bat, I've got a text. he doesn't bring in a bat. He says, I'm an all-action boxer like I'm an all-action cricketer. I might not have been the most technically gifted, but I'm always in the thick of it. Difficult not to be in the thick of it while another man trying to punch you in the face.
That's right. I'm just considering in my mind running maybe a sort of a World Series of boxing, but with ex-cricketers. And I'd have Mike Gatting versus Holyoake. Gatting would be a super heavyweight.
Ooh, that'd be good. Or we could mix weights as well. That'd be terrific. Peter Such.
Such.
I'd like to see him dancing around. Very sprightly, sort of skinny spin bowler. I'd like to see that very much.
We could recreate the 93 Ashes and have Peter Such versus Merv Hughes. Merv Hughes must be double the size he was Peter Such is getting thinner by the day.
And again, with excellent facial hair. We could have a Hashim Amla, Moeen Ali facial hair face-off.
Boxing.
Boxing. A boxing face-off. Let's solve it once and for all. But no, and well done to Adam Holyoake. I'm not suggesting the other guy took a fall. I don't want to get into that area. We might get a knock on the door in our secret location from Jimmy the Thumb, who might try and take me out. But no, well done to him. Terrific work. As I say, maybe some people also box like they play cricket. Jonathan Trott may go in there, just try and slow everything down and wait for rain. Who knows? I, on the other hand, I box very much like I make love. I close my eyes, I move around a bit, and I just try and stay out of trouble. Now, moving swiftly on. I critique the cricket critic. This week, George De Bell. That's right, it's a face-off. Now, our friends at the Switch Hit podcast.
Friends is strong.
Can we call them pod? They're not our friends, but we're their friends.
Yes.
Well, it might remain so as I take on George De Bell.
I'm going to disassociate myself from the following comments, because I'm a big fan.
You're a fan. I'm a fan of De Bell. I'm not saying I'm not a fan of De Bell. But De Bell, during his last Switch Hit podcast, claimed two things, which very quickly were tested against each other. Now, he said about James Taylor, good player, a decent technique, but he's got a few flaws. He plays across his pads a little too much. And if he does that and continues to do it, he'll struggle in county cricket, let alone international cricket. Now, George, he's a very fine player, and his stats speak for themselves. This, for me, goes back to the days when people like to see people play very properly. I remember another game, when Ali Brown, the terrific all-action, big-hitting batsman, made his debut. He scored 108, and if I remember rightly, I believe it was Boycott, said, well, he's got a century on his debut, but he hasn't impressed anybody. And it's just that kind of ridiculous comment that I think we've got past, and we're now more into the area of all-action cricket.
Can I stand up for him for a moment?
Go on.
I think he was talking about that in the context of him being in the England batting lineup for the Test matches, and I still think that if you've got a slightly wonky technique, you're more likely to do badly. And Graham Smith is the exception. He's not the rule.
Yeah, that's true.
And so I think he's got a point, actually.
De Bell's got a point. God knows. And the man knows his cricket. I'm not saying he doesn't. But he also said this week that that they've got some good bowlers. West Indies, the team that are coming over to play England. One of them being Ravi Rampal. Now,
that's an error.
Ravi Rampal is... And I don't... Again, I'm not getting at Ravi Rampal. I don't want to knock on the door in our secret location from Mr. Rampal. But to me, he epitomises the death of the great West Indies bowler. He's that's a strong claim. But he doesn't bound in and terrify people. He plops in off two or three paces and puts it on a mark, doesn't
he?
He's
built like Virender Sehwag, isn't he?
he's slightly portly. Incidentally, that's a big claim, isn't it? Richie Richardson was almost 12th man the other day in the West Indies match at Hove.
That would have been absolutely fantastic. Apparently Otis Gibson was also in the frame and in better shape than Richie Richardson, according to the podcast.
I'm calling to switch here, in fact. Anyway, De Bell, All I'm saying is James Taylor will have a finer summer than Rand Paul. How can we test this? Well, one opening face-off came in the England-Lions match. And during that Lions match, Rand Paul, I believe, he did take three wickets. So I have to say, that was probably just about advantage.
You started with your weakest point.
I've started on my weakest point in an attempt to end strong because, of course, Taylor scored a century.
Yes.
But as we found out, it's still been overlooked. But look, look, George, I know you're fond of a look. I address you directly. I'm not having a go at you. I'm just saying...
It's quite aggressive to direct someone directly, isn't it?
Look, George DeBell, I like you. I like your style. I like your podcast. But all I'm saying is this. James Taylor will score a century for England by the end of the year. How about that?
Listen to me, George DeBell.
Listen to me.
You listen to me.
DeBell. DeBell. Oi, oi, DeBell. Come here. Oi, stop crying, DeBell. Give me your lunch money. All I'm saying is Taylor will be in sooner than you think, DeBell. And if he isn't, I will eat my shoe.
I look forward to Ravi Rampal taking a fifer in the first test match for us.
James Taylor sitting on his arse somewhere and DeBell laughing in my face. Well, maybe that will be. But like Werner Herzog once claimed about a guy who said he would never get his film made and then made a short film about him actually eating his own shoe because of that claim. I will do the same. I will eat a shoe on the pod blast if James Taylor doesn't make a century for England this year. That's a big claim, isn't it?
Well, that is a big claim. Can I pull us back to the realms of reality for a moment? We're six rounds into the county championship, Ross.
Very good.
Six rounds at the moment, and the dust has settled, and the sun has come out, at least temporarily. Mm. And I think it's just worth doing a quick round-up, as we are today, on the Sunday the 13th of May,
yeah,
about where we are. Division 1, Notts at the top.
Notts at the top.
Probably unsurprising.
Yeah.
78 points. Warwickshire just behind on 71 points. Playing well, not had Boyd Rankin. Doing good. Division 2, I'm enjoying.
Very good.
At the top... Derbyshire, joint with Yorkshire. Another one of their so-called unfashionable counties.
I would say that, as we've dubbed them.
I couldn't name a Derbyshire player off the top of my head.
I don't think I could either.
Well, I apologise for that. I think we need to fix that,
don't
we?
Doesn't speak volumes for us, perhaps.
No, that's right. Well, Division 2 is interesting. Yorkshire are up there at the top as well. And yesterday, Yorkshire finished their game against Gloucestershire, chasing over 400 to win, and did it, having forfeited their first innings and had Gloucestershire... declare. And that's the second game, because I went to Middlesex Worcestershire a couple of weeks ago. I think it really excellent move on behalf of all the counties to make these inter-competitive games. Mm. Bresnan, in the fight for the fast bowling spot against Onions and Finn, took a fifer in that game, bowled 32 overs and hit a quick fire 38 to win the game. So he's looking like in good shape.
That's very
would
good.
You have him for the last seamer spot?
Onions or Bresnan are we talking?
Onions, Bresnan or Finn, because I think Anderson and Broad are going to take the top two.
Well, I think they're all very good. For me, they're like a recipe of fast bowling. You take a sprinkle of Bresnan and you add a little onions. You do the rest.
this leads on to another subject which occurred to me, which I haven't really considered too much, which is great cricketing names that sort of refer to something. And my favourite player at the moment for Worcestershire is Clinger.
Yeah, how many did he drop any during that match? He didn't cling on for
anything. He doesn't seem to be able to cling on to anything, let alone his wicket, because he keeps getting out for about 20.
He does.
So if anyone out there has got a good cricketing name that they think we ought to know about, you can get onto Twitter. Yep. Join us at Cricket Podblast. Look out for that. Or you can email us at thecricketpodblast@gmail.com and let us know what you think. If you've got any other good names, we'd like to hear them.
So in the middle of the good month, bad month, I will also add at that point that someone got in touch this week to tell us exactly what Vic Marks did. Vic Marks was the spin bowler during the Botham era for England. We very much apologise to Vic and anyone else biting their fist with rage over our lack of knowledge about Vic Marks.
Yes.
I'm sure he was a fine player. I'm going to order a Vic Marks video and watch a compilation of what I'm sure is a man with a terrific technique.
He's got a great radio voice.
And a good wrong'un. He does, doesn't he? I do like Vic. He's an excellent broadcaster.
Yeah.
On the spin bowling, thing, I call it, I had a dream about Phil Tufnell last night.
Yeah, what did you dream?
I dreamed that he died.
Oh, I did.
I dreamt that he died.
How?
I just read it in the paper and I was very upset. It was one of those vivid dreams. I really did wake up sweating.
We all would.
Absolutely. But it said he was 77 years old. Now, I'm not saying for a second that I have predicted the imminent demise of Phil Tufnell. That's for others to say.
God.
As Liam Herring might say, that's for others to, you know, whatever your beliefs. I'm not saying that Phil will, anyway, I think, I don't want to put a mark against the man. All I'm saying is I support the Spin Bowlers Union. Vic, Phil, we salute you. So, the other half of Good Month, Bad Month, in a change to what one might expect, is actually another good month. Now, I predicted it would be a bad month, as many did at Worcester, because of the flooding that had happened. Did you see any pictures from that?
It was underwater. They went off to Kidderminster.
Absolutely. And the match this week was... it was proposed it would be played at Kidderminster, a second 11 game having been played at Ombersley, Little Ombersley, where I actually went to first school. Just 15 a year, one of those very pretty village schools. But the match came back from nowhere to turn it from a bad month to a good month for Worcestershire. This segment could be called Good Month, Good Month. Alex, look at the flooding that was at Worcester. I'm showing Alex a picture, and now he will give you a vocal reaction to what he sees.
Wow, that is a lot of water.
That we were testing the medium of radio there, and I think we won.
I think radio won.
I think radio won. Radio was the real, radio and cricket were the real winners. Now Worcester, it was completely underwater, but managed to come back and actually host one of the games of the season, in which KP came back with a terrific 69. Worcester made Surrey follow on. This is possibly someone wrote in Ben Story to say that should we have a segment on teams that haven't won, having enforced the follow on?
Oh, that would be very interesting. That can go right there with politician cricketers.
No, absolutely. We'll stick it on the mix and stir it up with some onions. Worcester enforced the follow on. We didn't win. We didn't lose, however, because of that man, Matt Pardo, the young Matt Pardo. Made a battling 38.
Well, Surrey almost got there. Worcester were 8 down.
They were 8 down. And after good work from Rory Hamilton-Brown
and
Tom Maynard as well. Yeah. Both scoring centuries.
Yeah.
I like to say Rory Hamilton-Brown. I almost said Hamilton-Brown and Maynard. The Rory adds an edge. If he was just called Hamilton-Brown, he might sound like a posh man who'd invented a new type of razor.
Well, I voted for Rory Hamilton-Brown in the London mayoral elections.
Did he stand?
No.
Interesting.
It was my political protest.
Very good. Rory Hamilton, make Rory Hamilton frown, which is what I shouted during the Worcester game. But we did not achieve that. The Hamilton Brown razor. I'm Hamilton Brown. Try the Hamilton Brown switchblade. Now, the Worcester was saved last year from flooding. I believe, was it the year before? I'll check it. By a very unusual celebrity. Do you know who that was?
No, who was that?
Well, Worcester's ground was completely flooded and it was going to cost significant money to repair the damage. Worcester floods very often, it's not a new problem, but they didn't have the correct insurance. Then they realised that they did have comprehensive insurance because Elton John had played a gig there last year and the insurance covered them for damage.
That is absolutely fantastic.
And now, I mean, Elton...
Good news!
Good news! Your pitch can be saved by Elton John. Elton, we salute you. Your services to Watford Cricket Club had been much lauded, but your service to Worcester is great, and I thank you for that. It almost made me want to say, is there a kind of song we could play that might somehow encapsulate? You know, that could be a phone-in. Elton John saving Worcestershire cricket. Unfortunately, I almost immediately came up with The Pitch Is Back, which pretty much begins and ends it, doesn't it? If you can come up with a better one than that, you're a better man than me. So let's get cricket specific. I say cricket specific because I don't know whether this particular career could happen in any other sport. I don't think there's anything that quite compares to this. The man in question is Adrian Shankar, and he is one of my great sporting success stories, and an untold story at that. Adrian Shankar, no relation to Ravi Shankar, father of Nora Jones, as we discovered last week. Adrian Shankar, Worcester took him on during a player drought of 2011. We had many batsmen injured, I say we, as I am a Worcester fan.
A player drought?
A player drought. We had injuries in the batting department, and someone said, hey, look, Adrian Shankar's been on. Apparently, he's got a great record in the Sri Lankan League. He scored a hatful of runs. He's also played in the past for Bedford at a good level and Cambridge University. Why don't we take him on? And Worcester said, let's have him. Now, he opened the batting with Moeen Ali in a Pro 40 game. And it wasn't an auspicious start. He scored a duck and looked a touch not very good at batting. Now, Shankar had come into Worcester at late notice, been pushed into open straight away, and it didn't look like he was a batsman of great pedigree. Now, at this point, Worcester failed to realise that they hadn't completely checked the credentials of one Adrian Shankar.
Oh, dear.
when they did, they found that he had spent some time at Bedford. He'd spent some time at Cambridge University. But he's also spent some time at Lancashire a few years ago. Now, his time at Lancashire was a very interesting one. And what they did find is after having him in the side for a while and coming with a reference from Cambridge University, where the coach there said of Shankar, he's the finest young player I've seen since John Crawley.
Well, that's no high praise.
High praise indeed. Later... the same coach got back in touch with Lancashire, having found out that he'd been quoted on that, and said, I said nothing of the sort. The man was a very poor cricketer and I certainly wouldn't recommend him.
Oh dear.
So there was certainly going on with something with Shankar. Rumours then appeared at Lancashire that he was actually claiming to be 3 years younger than he actually was. And if he did play in Sri Lanka, there were no records of him having done so. There was also a comment from the Bedfordshire cricketers when they said, we all laughed when he heard he got into Worcestershire and indeed trained with Lancashire. He'd been trying to get into our side for 6 or 7 years.
He's the Bernie Madoff of batting.
He absolutely is. And it goes further. Luke Sutton, the Lancashire cricket player, spoke of it in his campaign, his column for the Daily Mail. Alarm bells went off, he said, when Shankar looked extremely out of his depth. He talked of having played for the Arsenal Academy in football and playing nationally at tennis, but was distinctly average at both. The rumours of his three-year lie about his own life came to fore. And when I questioned him about this, he said, well, it's partly true. The fact is, I was on a life support machine for the first 3 years of my birth.
Well done.
And so, as such, didn't age in the traditional way.
That's
very good, Shankar.
I wonder if there are any other examples of cricketing fraud on that sort of level.
Well, let's put the word out and see if we can get any. My favourite kicker comes at the end when Sutton goes on to say, when I said that his body would still grow under such conditions, and so it wasn't something that had stopped time, Shankar said, well, it didn't grow, and simply walked away. We salute you. As a man myself that lauds his own cricketing ability to the disappointment and dismay of others when they see how distinctly average I am, I salute you as the greatest cricketing success story with limited ability. The end of the story is that he did score 10 not out on his second innings against Durham, which for me is a significant success. That's the end of my innings. Thank you for joining me and stay tuned for the second innings from Alex. Alex, any last words from you?
Well, just to let the listeners know that you're probably expecting a bundle of things that Ross promised at the beginning of the episode. He's like that. But we'll try and incorporate them in mine, episode 4. We hope you can join us for it.
I was the opening chatsman. Thanks very much. Thank you.